Chapter 4, Yiling 2.0, in which someone realizes just how much he's being missed. Jinsu feels as if she might faint. What does this mean? Wei Wuxian is here? In Yiling? With the Wens? What? Wen Qing gets up. Oh, hell, I'll get in and talk to him first. You wait here. He doesn't have to work today, so he's got time, but I'm sure he'll find a way to escape if we let him. Jinsu closes her mouth with a click. What is she doing? She asks, still not believing what is unfolding right in front of her eyes. Miracles, huh? Doing what is best for Wei Wuxian, Granny Wen says. He has the bad habit of looking out more for other people than himself. We got to know him while he was at university in Gusu, Wen Ning tells them. He and Jie shared one or two classes, and they became friends. When the thing with Onk, with Wen Rohan happened, and he saw how distraught we were, he connected the dots and wanted to help us, which, in turn, made him a target for Wen Rohan's men, too. He was the one who helped us escape. As far as I've gathered, he lived in Yiling during his childhood days, before his family at Lotus Pier took him in, and he was still in contact with people who could get us a cheap place to live and quick work. No one really comes to live here out of their own volition, if they can avoid it. It's unheard of that a whole family branch moves in at once, so we all went by a bunch of different names for a while, and relocated several times within the area before settling down here. Wow, Jinsu says. To think that he was right here while I was talking to you? Wild. Wen Qing reappears and joins them at the table. So, she says, he's ready to talk to you, but inside. He's not too fond of the camera, but he says you can keep filming if you promise to delete the footage and not air it if he asks you not to. Of course, Jinsu says. That's common courtesy. The interior of the apartment complex turns out to be just as drab as the exterior. Peeling paint and stained wallpaper catch the eye at every corner. Old bicycles and shoe racks line the corridors, as well as the occasional stroller and football. The air smells of cooked cabbage and fried chicken. Wen Qing leads them up to the fifth floor. There is no elevator. Granny Wen lives on the second floor, with a man the Wens refer to as Uncle Four, but she insists on joining them. Has moral support, she claims. Wei Wuxian, as it turns out, shares a flat with the Wen siblings. They both have their own rooms, while Wei Wuxian sleeps on a fold-out couch in the living room. The flat looks lived in, messy in a way that conveys that the mess is born not from a lack of tidiness, but from a lack of space. The furniture is second-hand. Despite it all, it feels cozy. Wen Qing floats over to the small kitchenette and prepares tea for all of them, including the film crew, while Wei Wuxian, according to her, changes into clean clothes and combs his hair. It's his weekend off, so he lazes about in sweatpants and a messy bun, as one does, she explains. Jinsu relates on a spiritual level. Jing Qing, you'd be the first person to yell at me if I sat on the couch in my greasy work overalls. Jinsu turns around to look where the voice just came from, and... oh, that is definitely Wei Wuxian. She doesn't know him, but that is the man from the photograph. The tiniest bit taller. Maybe one last growth spurt in his mid-20s. Certainly older, and a bit thinner in the face. But his hair is done in a half-up, half-down style, fastened off with a red ribbon. His eyes crinkle up like crescent moons when he smiles at Wen Qing, just like they do in the photograph, and he has that sunny air to him, just like Lan Sizhui described him. She found him. Jinsu found him. Totally by accident. She needs to sit down. Wen Qing shoots Wu Wuxian a look. That's because your work overalls are, as you already stated, greasy, and I don't want you to ruin the couch, she says. I know that you own other clothes than just sweatpants. But jeans in the house are blurg, Wei Wuxian says, and pouts. An actual, honest-to-God pout. This man is ridiculous. Qinsu adores him already. Wen Qing rolls her eyes at him. Shut up and sit down. These people are here to talk to you. At that, Wu Wuxian shifts his focus onto Qinsu and the film crew. He stiffens up, his eyes shifting back to the Wens. It's safe, boy, Granny Wen tells him, in a tone that conveys she has told him this 100 times before. We are safe. You're safe. We've been for a while. Now dig out your manners and greet the young lady. She's come a long way just to talk to you. Wei Wuxian clears his throat and smiles at Qinsu and the film crew. It's not as wide as in the photograph, but it doesn't seem forced either. Hello, he says, extending a hand to all of them in greeting. I'm sorry, I should have greeted you right away. Please sit. He gestures towards the kitchen table. Wen Qing hands them both a mug of tea before retreating to the couch with Granny Wen and Wen Ning. Qinsu can tell that Wei Wuxian is tense. Many people are. Cameras still make her nervous. Being in front of them is her job. As if on cue, Wei Wuxian gestures at said cameras. So, what's up with those? Am I on some sort of prank show? Qinsu shakes her head. First, I need you to confirm some things for me, if you please. Your name is Wei Wuxian, childhood name Wei Ying.
The one and only.
Born on October 31st in the Yiling district?
Yep.
Attended Gusu University prior to relocating here? Wei Wuxian visually tenses up some more, but he nods. Qinsu lets out a breath that turns into a laugh. Wow, I can't believe it. Wei Wuxian blinks at her.
I'm confused.
Qinsu smiles at him. Do you happen to be familiar with the TV program Forget Me Not? Wei Wuxian taps his nose in thought. Oh, is that the one with the tearjerker episodes in which people go looking for relatives and get reunited with them?
The one and only, Qinsu mirrors him, and Wei Wuxian actually laughs. Does that mean someone is missing me?
He says it with a smile on his face, but out of the corner of her eye, Qinsu can see Wen Qing grimace. Even she can hear the undertone of sadness and insecurity in his voice. Yes, Qinsu confirms. Several people. You're being dearly missed. And it was pure chance that we found you. Wei Wuxian is silent. By the way the atmosphere in the room changes, Qinsu gathers that Wei Wuxian being at a loss for words must be a rare occurrence. She observes as he worries at his lips with his teeth and fidgets with his fingers in his lap. Okay, he finally says, ready to listen. Qinsu clears her throat. A few weeks ago, we were contacted by a young man who says he knew you when he was still a child and remembers you fondly, she explains. Now that he's almost an adult and is soon to become independent, he would like nothing more than to reconnect with you. He's been adopted into a very nice family, and while we were looking for you, he asked us to look into whether we could find any information on his birth family. As it turns out, this young man is a Wen. Wei Wuxian stares at her.
Wait, really? How? But I...
Granny Wen gets up and joins them at the kitchen table.
We didn't know he was still alive, Granny Wen tells him. He's the son of Wen Qing's and Wen Ning's older cousins. They died in a car crash near Gusu, which is most likely why he entered the system there. His registration certificate only states his childhood name and his date of birth,
and neither his family name nor his parents' names. But how can you be sure he's one of yours? Wu Wuxian asks. We were allowed to run a DNA sample through the national database, and several members of the Wen family popped up as matches, removed enough to be cousins, aunts, and uncles, but clearly still related by blood, Jinzu explains.
That, and he looks the part, Granny Wen says. We looked at photographs.
He looks like his parents. Wei Wuxian swallows. Do you think they took precautions so his name wouldn't be recorded because of...
Oh, most certainly, Granny Wen confirms.
I believe that's why they were in Gusu in the first place.
Hiding in plain sight.
Wei Wuxian nods. Hiding in plain sight. Can I see him? He asks Jinzu, who reaches down into her purse again to take out Lan Sizhui's photograph, while Wen Ning hands him the album with the picture of his cousins.
Those are his birth parents, Granny Wen says, pointing at the photograph.
And this, Jinzu adds, is Sizhui, omitting his Lan family name on purpose. Carefully, Wei Wuxian takes Sizhui's picture in his hand, looks at it, and compares it with the picture in the album.
Oh, there's definitely a resemblance, he says. Except for the nose. It actually reminds me of an old friend I used to have.
Jinzu notices how Wei Wuxian blinks rapidly, as if he was holding back tears at the memory.
He looks very kind and happy.
What is his name, did you say?
Sizhui.
Oh, that is a very pretty name. It suits him, Wei Wuxian says.
It does, Jinzu says softly. But his childhood name was Ayuan.
Wei Wuxian's eyes snap back up to her face. He stares at her for a solid 5 seconds before he looks back at the photograph. When he next speaks, his voice sounds hoarse.
That's a joke, right? Like, that's not possible.
Why not?
Because, Wei Wuxian drops the photograph.
He was still so little. I don't think he would remember me.
Quieter, almost too quiet for the microphones to catch it, he adds,
why would he want to see me? I've abandoned him.
He shakes his head. It cannot be me. You've got the wrong person.
Jinzu is on thin ice. She knows that what she's hearing is not a rejection, but more denial. She won't force Wei Wuxian to meet up with Lan Sizhui if he really doesn't want to see the boy. But she's come so far already. She has to keep trying.
Sizhui recorded a video message in case we would find you, she says quietly.
I only ask you to watch it. If you still think we found the wrong person after that, I'll leave you alone.
Wei Wuxian seems to contemplate it. Jinzu gives him time.
Then, a nod.
All right, he says. I guess I've got nothing to lose.
Jinzu nods and goes about setting up her laptop again. She's indescribably nervous. More than she usually would be. The video shows Lan Sizhui in the same spot and in the same clothes as the one she showed the Wens, though she suspects that this one has been recorded after the one for his birth family.
Hello, he says to the camera. My name is Sizhui, but you knew me as Ayuan. I only recently learned your full name, because in all of those years I only remembered you as Xian Gege.
Wei Wuxian slaps a hand across his mouth. His eyes well up with tears.
If you're watching this, it means that you already know I've been looking for you. First of all, I want you to know that I am healthy and happy. I was adopted by a lovely dad, and I had a very happy and fulfilling childhood. I know you secretly always worried about that. But even though I'm happy, I never forgot you. It's even strange to myself that I remember you so much, given my age at the time, but I do. I can still hear you laugh in my mind. I still remember how you told me that you'd plant me in the orphanage's sandbox, like a radish, so that I could sprout siblings. I remember how you told me stories about your brother and your sister, and how you snuck out at night to steal lotus seeds from the neighboring lake together. You always wanted to take me there when I'm older.
A sob escapes Sijue. He furiously wipes at his eyes before regaining his composure. Wei Wuxian's eyes are glued to the screen. Jinsu wonders whether he's even blinked once since the video started.
I was obviously really sad when he disappeared, but over the years I realized that you would never have left so abruptly if you didn't have a good reason for it. I don't know what it was that made you leave, but I just want to know you're safe, that you're happy, and I want you to know that I never forgot you.
Sijue's voice breaks. This time, he needs more than just a second to regain his composure.
You were my Xiangege, the most special person I had ever met in my entire life. In some ways, you still are. You were like a father to me, and I loved you like one. I still do. I'm not angry with you. I would love to see you again. So much, if you want that too. If not, then please know that you will always be in my heart. No matter what my name is now, I will always be your little radish.
The video fades out. Wei Wuxian breaks down crying. He hides his face in his hands and weeps for what feels like a long time. Jinsu knows that it probably lasts for only a few minutes, but Wei Wuxian just can't seem to stop. She can feel moisture on her own cheek and wipes away a stray tear. It's not exactly professional to cry on the job, but sometimes neither she nor Luo Qingyang can help it.
You know, Wei Wuxian hiccups, I really wanted to adopt him myself. I don't know if I would have been able to, but I wanted to try so badly, or at least foster him. I loved him so much. My little radish.
And he still loves you, Jinsu says, reaching over the table to cover Wei Wuxian's forearm with her hand in comfort. He never forgot you. He holds no resentment. All he wishes is to know that you're safe. All he wants is to see his Xiangege again. If Xiangege wants to.
Yes! Oh my god, yes! Wei Wuxian cries, wiping away a fresh wave of tears. I want to see him so badly. Oh, my little baby has all grown up! So handsome!
Wei Wuxian laughs then, through the tears. It's a laugh tinged with regret and heartbreak, but also with immense joy and relief. Wen Qing hands him a tissue. He wipes his face and blows his nose. But, you know, he tells Jinsu, I think if he wants to meet the Wens, and they want to meet him, he should meet them first.
No, Wen Qing, don't look at me that way. You're his birth family, and I want you to have that privilege first.
Wen Qing sends him a sour look, but then nods. It actually comes quite in handy, Jinsu says, because there's someone in Lanling who is just as desperate to see you. Wei Wuxian pauses.
Lanling? I don't know anyone from Lanling.
Oh, you do. You know someone who moved there and still lives there.
Who?
Your sister, Jiang Yanli. Wei Wuxian opens his mouth, then closes it again.
Chi-chi?
He whispers, reverently, incredulous. His eyes go wet again. We met her while we were looking for you, and she misses you dearly. We don't have any recorded message or letter from her, but this is the footage from when we met her. Jinsu scrolls through the folders of her laptop until she finds the raw cut from that day, opens the video, and fast-forwards to a certain timestamp.
I hope that he knows that, regardless of how strict and unfair at times my mother might have been to him, and how much he sometimes fought with our brother, we siblings loved him. We still love him. My brother still loves him, even if he might claim otherwise. I know him. I know that he does. I love him. Asien is my little brother. How could I not love him?
She fast forwards again.
But I don't care if they get angry with me. I just want my baby brother back. Or at least I want to know what happened to him. I miss him so much. We will let you know if we find out anything new. But if we do indeed happen to find him, and he is willing, would you like to see him? Of course! Of course I want to. I want nothing more than to see him happy and healthy, to hold him close, to tell him how much I love him. Please, do try and find him.
She closes the video. Wei Wuxian breaks down again.
Oh, Jijie, what have I done to you?
He cries. She too holds no resentment towards you, Jinsu says, and she wishes nothing more than to see you. Only her, for now. She understands the situation with your brother and your adoptive parents is a difficult one. Granny Wen puts her arm around Wei Wuxian and holds him close as he sobs some more. Would you like to see her? Jinsu asks. Wei Wuxian only nods, while rubbing at his eyes with his fists. Good. That way, you can meet your sister, while Sizhui will meet his birth family. After that, we'll rest a few days before you meet him, so no one will be overwhelmed, and you'll have time to prepare. How does that sound? The Wens and Wei Wuxian all agree to that plan. Jinsu gives them time to compose themselves as best they can, before asking them to record a little message for both Sizhui and Jiang Yanli. Jinsu leaves that evening with a lighter heart. She wishes she could have stayed a little while longer. She really likes the Wens and Wei Wuxian. They're nice people. She's proud of her work, and happy to bring people joy, but she knows that the aftermath can be very difficult to deal with. She's certain that they will hold each other and lift each other up. She would have loved to sit with them just a little bit longer, just until they've processed everything a little bit better. But she has work to do. She has footage to send in. Jinsu shakes her head. Miracles, man.